Let's pray. Father, we invite your Spirit here. We rejoice that you've given us your word and that you oversee things so that your word can be preached, so that your Spirit can work in people's hearts and this world can be changed. It's simply awesome to be a part of that and to be on this journey. I ask that you would calm my heart and direct my speech, that your people today would be edified. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Kate keeps reminding me to say amen at the end of my prayers. But I'm really glad you do. Thank you, Bob, especially. So Acts 10. I'll give you a recap. Because as I was told as I walked in this morning, I think when I preached this I had no beard. So it's been a while. And here it is keeping me warm. Again, thank you, Kate, for that, because it would have gone a long time ago if it wasn't for her. Beard aside, let's talk about Acts 10. And so Cornelius, verse 1, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. And yet he didn't know God. He was throwing up, just like Ken said this morning, he was throwing out ideas about who God was, but he didn't have a relationship with God yet. Isn't that awesome? That's the heart of a seeker. So I'm not speaking about this section, but this is how God drew him to himself. And so an angel appeared to Cornelius and he sent men off, two servants and a soldier, to go on the angel's instructions to find Simon Peter. It's pretty amazing when God shows up, isn't it? When God showed up in your life as a seeker and you sought him out and eventually you heard the gospel and you accepted him. Or if you're here this morning and you haven't yet, that's what you're about to hear. You're about to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who came to forgive your sin. And the process for Peter was much the same. So I really like the way that Dr. Luke's detective work has given us both sides of this story. Remember Cornelius, okay, that's last message. This one is about the heart of a servant. So we've heard about the heart of a seeker some time ago, and today we're hearing about the heart of a servant in the context of mission and hospitality. And so we'll pick it up on Acts 10 verse 9, right after Cornelius has told his servants and told them everything. He told them the whole story about the angel and why they were going to get Peter. And so the next day, as they were on their journey, verse 9, and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. You see, there's a connection. Cornelius prayed. Peter prayed. They both had a vision, one of an angel, this one about a dream. And why in the middle of the day would Peter go up to pray? Because my impression is that not just the Jewish custom of praying morning and night, but as a man who knew Jesus and walked with Jesus and was inspired by Jesus, even having seen him on the cross and resurrected, he would want to pray all the time. And so in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, he goes up to the housetop. Why? To pray. He wants to see God. He wants to see a broader picture. And he became hungry, it says, and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. Again, think about Cornelius' vision of the angel and now Peter's dreams. And Peter saw, verse 11, the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds, that is, every animal, and reptile and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, to Peter, saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter has a notorious reputation for being disobedient, doesn't he? And Peter says, no, verse 14. Peter said, "Surely not, Lord." No, it's polite. It's not a nasty objection to God. It's, no, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice came to him a second time. "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times. And when you think about Peter in the context of three times, what do you think about? One time he failed. He said, when Jesus said, In Matthew 16, Peter's response was, Jesus said he was going to be crucified, and Peter said, no, surely not. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're blocking God's purposes. The second time, Jesus wanted to wash their feet, in John 13. And Peter says, no, you'll never wash my feet. And yet Jesus had to wash their feet to show what it is to be a servant. So what food God has made clean, do not call this food common. And what people God has made clean, do not call those people common or unworthy of the message. So three times, do you remember three in Peter's life, the denials in John 18. Do you know this man? Oh, no, never knew him. Do you know this man? No, I don't even know him. Do you know this man? And then the rooster crowed. And the restoration of Peter in John 21. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Three times is very important for Peter. Very important. How many times do you need to hear God's challenge for you to step up and show the heart of a servant in mission? How many times would you need a sheep to come down from heaven and show you all these things, all these people throughout this whole world are worthy of the message of Jesus? And so I guess I want to give you three R's today. There are five, but I'm cutting the extra two off because that's going to be a third message, believe it or not. And by the end of today's message, Cornelius is still not a believer. It's a process, you see. So Cornelius has had a vision. He's had God speak to him through the voice of an angel. He's been obedient. So he recognised that it was God, Cornelius did, in those first eight verses. And Peter too has recognised the voice of God. The importance of getting out there and doing something about all that he's seen in Jesus' life and sending the message to those who are not Jews. So the first R in the heart of a servant is to recognise. You need to recognise when God's at work. And if you're going to recognise, the word recognise means to recognise, to see all over again. And for those who are saved, we've got a cognitive idea of what God is, and we've invited Christ into our hearts. And to recognise again what God is doing, and to stir us up into action, particularly action today for Peter, to those who are not of the nation of Israel. They're not the Jews. It's for everybody, this message. How powerful is that? Is it changing the way you think about how far away you might have to go to share the message of Jesus? So if you're going to recognise when God shows up, it's going to require a response. You might end up doing what Jonah does and go the opposite way. Or you might respond in the way that Peter did. I'll ask Dot to come and read from Acts 10, verses 17 to 29.
While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to them, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we've come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me I should not call anyone impure or unclean."
Did you get that? "I should not call anyone impure or unclean." And the heart of God is that we would share that message with everyone. So when you recognise that God's at work, it requires a response. And what a response. So that Peter was so perplexed by what he'd seen, but right then the Spirit steps up. Isn't it good when you have a confirmation that what you're about to do for God is confirmed by the Holy Spirit? What a great feeling that is. When I just heard last night that I was having a bit of trouble with, well, a hardship with somebody this week, and exactly that time when I was meeting with that person, someone else elsewhere had been prompted to pray for me. I went, wow. Just like Peter on the roof, who's seen the vision and he's just wondering what it means, and then there's a knock at the door and the Spirit says to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you." It's the Spirit. The Spirit said to him, read that right there. "Three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." Man, it's just so clear what we should do, isn't it? Isn't it so clear how we should respond when God's at work? And Peter went down to the men and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. What's the reason for your coming?" Now I can just imagine, think about this. These people are from a long way away in their day. One's a soldier, a Roman soldier. This is a Jewish guy, a follower of Jesus, in a persecuted society. The door ajar. Perhaps I would have been more like, "Who's there? What's going on out there?" We might have been like a policeman being asked a favour by a thief. You know, like, "Come on, it's a bit suspicious." But what a great reassurance from the Spirit to say, without hesitation, go to these men. Invite them in. And so he says, "What's the reason for your coming?" I have a fair idea that he knew after the vision, but they recount the story of Cornelius the centurion, who is well spoken of apparently by the whole Jewish nation. I think that's probably a bit of hyperbole. "Directed by an angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." Now remember in Acts 10, the first five verses, Cornelius didn't actually know the message. He was just given the message, "Go and get Peter." So he doesn't know the answer yet. So he stared at the angel in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" This is Cornelius in verse 4. He said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God, and now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter." And then the angel departed. So Cornelius doesn't know what message Peter's going to bring, and neither do the servants, but Peter invites them in. And this is where that idea of hospitality, if we're going to recognise God at work and respond to it, it's going to need relationship as well. There's your three R's, just in case you're taking notes. Recognise God at work, respond, and start relationship. I wonder what the impact of your mindset or your life experience or what society tells you is when someone comes knocking on the door of your life, asking you questions about your faith and what does it mean to follow Jesus. Do you open the door? Do you invite them in? Or do you go, "Oh no, you're not my sort of people," or "You're not my social class," or "You're dirty or smelly," or whatever it is. Beware the cultural divide. Beware prejudice. beware ungodly discrimination that says, no, no, you're not for this message. This message is not for you. Remember, the voice of God to Peter said, what God has made clean, do not call common, or unworthy, or dirty. You see, similarly, later in Acts, Paul was at Athens, and he saw a statue to an unknown God. And yet he was able to proclaim to those people then and there, I know this God that you're looking for. This is the God that we live and move and have our being. And it made them want to come to him. Some of them came to him and said, we'll hear you more about this. But if he hadn't spoken at all, or hadn't even been there, how could they hear? So when we recognise God at work, we need to respond and look for relationship. And so Peter's response the very next day, it says in verse 23, the very next day he wasted no time. There was no hesitancy because the Spirit had spoken to him to say, without hesitation, these people have come looking for you to bring a message. And so the next day, Peter rose and went away with them, verse 23 if you're following along, and with some of his brothers from Joppa. So I would say that sharing a message to people involves travel. It might involve inconvenience. It might involve something that takes away your time and your money. It might involve a great trip with fellowship, with brothers and unity of purpose to share the message of Jesus. What better thing could you be doing? Have you ever been on a short-term mission trip? Put your hand up if you have. I can't see those in the hall, but that's awesome, isn't it? Because you've committed that time and that money and that effort to go and see what God's doing in another place. You've recognised that he's doing something and you want to be part of it. You want to go and build relationships. And those relationships, this is from my experience, I'm talking, they stay with you forever. Like my first one was 97 to people in Zimbabwe, and I still think of those people today. It's had 25 years. God will leave the imprint of a relationship with people in your heart and your mind. And the message is the thing that brings us together. So Peter says, right, I'm off. I'm paraphrasing. On the following day, verse 24, they entered Caesarea. So 48 kilometres. I wonder what they talked about. The servants, the soldier, Peter's colleagues. I've got a fair idea. Remember the road to Emmaus? We talked about this with the junior youth group. They didn't recognise Jesus. I guess the challenge for us is to recognise Jesus in our daily walk too, and to see what he wants us to do and how we should be spending our time. So surprise, surprise, verse 4, Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And here's the theme. Through the whole book of Acts, the gospel is proclaimed to friends, relatives and neighbours. It crosses cultural borders, it crosses social borders, it's friends, relatives and neighbours. Whoever's around at the time gets to hear the gospel. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Whoops. Got the wrong guy. And so Peter lifted him up very gently. Wow. Peter lifted him up. What he's going to tell him about Jesus is going to lift him up even more, no? Peter lifted him up. It's a Roman centurion and says to him, stand up. I too am just a man. I'm your brother. I'm here. Wow. I have this visual mind that's just playing this out in my brain and just going, wow. Now here's a man worshipping another man just because he believes in Jesus. And that man responding just like Jesus saying, no, stand up, stand with me. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. Surprise, surprise. And he said to them, you don't know how hard it is for me to be here. No. He says, you know that it's unlawful for me, a Jew, to associate with or to visit anyone from another nation but God. Remember? He's recognised that God's at work. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean, or dirty, or discriminate against them, or show prejudice. So Peter says, when I was sent for, I came, without objection, and I asked them, why are you sent for me? He wants to check on Cornelius' sincerity, because so far it's been Chinese whispers. He's got these messengers come knocking on his door. God's told him it's okay to go, but he wants to hear it straight from Cornelius. Why? Why have you sent for me? And Cornelius relates that vision. 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying. I was praying. There's the thing that started it all off. Cornelius, the heart of a seeker is to pray and to seek God. Peter, the heart of a servant is on his roof praying when he gets a vision to say, it's okay. What's about to come across your path is okay. Let's go do it. I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, says Cornelius, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, your prayer has been heard. What a great confirmation. I was talking to Judy just before church about what we could do during the fellowship session. If we're not sharing food, we can share life. And maybe you could share with the people that you're going to meet over lunch. Maybe don't eat with your family today. And your prayer has been heard. Maybe you could share with someone a time that a prayer has been heard and answered by God. What a great thing to share over lunch that would be. So Cornelius' message, or relating the story to Peter, goes on. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter, who is lodging at the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. And so Cornelius says, I sent for you at once, Peter, and you've been kind enough to come. Kind enough? It's more than that, isn't it? It's obedience. It's commitment. It's an urgency in his heart. It's an inspired God calling to turn up and to follow Jesus, and to be here with someone that's seeking God. So Cornelius said, now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord. Man, a divinely appointed audience just waiting to hear about Jesus. I wonder how many of your friends and family and colleagues are just waiting to hear what you've got to say that the Lord's commanded you to share. So the heart of a servant is looking, is recognising when God's at work, which requires a response. So the heart of a servant we see in Peter is to recognise God at work, is to respond obediently and to start relationship. It's a mission textbook right here in just 34 verses. And still, Cornelius hasn't heard about Jesus. So you see the foundation of mission work? It starts out with the prompting of God. It starts out with prayer. It starts out with people on both sides of this encounter with Jesus bringing them together with a vision or a dream or the scriptures or whatever it happens to be that God uses to direct your path to these people, to have open ears and minds and hearts to hear the message of Jesus. And I can think of a million divisions and reasons not to do it. I've written down about 7. Distance, culture, different religion, pride. Oh, they're not the same wealth status as me. I don't know if I want to talk to those people about Jesus. Opinion, what will they say? Maybe they're not ready for it. Maybe they're going to reject me. Selfishness, oh, I think I'll keep this to myself today. I'm busy. Fear, and all those things will end up in no relationship. And yet if you seek God in prayer and you reach out and you recognise when God shows up in your life and you respond obediently, there's a beginning, an opportunity to talk about Jesus. It's pretty full on, isn't it? I'm sort of shaking this morning. I haven't even had coffee, but what it's doing is it's bringing it alive to me how important this is. I'm not the world's best missionary. In fact, I'm a pretty average preacher too, but I see what God's doing here is important for all of us to recognise. And the heart of a servant needs to hear this stuff and to act on it so that God's message is proclaimed. We're in Mission Month. We're in Hospitality Sunday. We live in a neighbourhood in a wealthy place of Australia. There's no persecution here other than what we create ourselves. If we're going to worry about what people are going to think, we're never going to say a word about Jesus. And people are speaking the name all the time. One of my new colleagues blasphemed right in front of me, and then the very next breath he said, "Thank God for..." I went, "No, you don't get it." I've only just met him, so I didn't want to cut straight into him, but, you know, he used the name of Jesus Christ, and the very next sentence he says, "Thank God for a break in the weather." I'm like, "You're missing it, man. You're missing it." He's a really nice guy, but he just doesn't have it. That's right. And, you know, and God uses that particular conversation while I'm preparing this message. Man, God at work. Are you recognising? Are you recognising where God's at work in your life? Do you see the need? And what's your response going to be? We're going to sing the last song, Jesus, all for Jesus. And as we do, I'm going to leave you with that. Let God work in you. Let him use your heart as a servant for him to change the world. And we'll sing together, Jesus, all for Jesus. And then we'll have lunch. So what I probably should do is pray and give thanks for lunch and for tears. All right, let's pray. Father, it's so good to be together as your people, and you have been good to us to give us your word. This action in the past, that's true history in the life of Peter and Cornelius, is probably one of the early steps in why we in Australia, a non-Jewish country, have the gospel of Jesus. And so we give you thanks for those who've responded and those who've heard your message and been able to relate it one by one, so that each of us can believe and have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin. God, as we gather around lunch, we give you thanks for your provision, for food and for friends and for family and for fellowship. And the things that bring us together today are founded in Jesus Christ. I thank you for your word and for your spirit and all that you bring together, so that this month of Mission Month, we can share in hospitality and both of those things we've seen in Acts 10 today. It's the way you ordained it to happen, God. Help each one of us to be stirred into responding to what you're doing in our life, that we can start relationship and continue relationship with others who have yet to hear about Jesus. I pray that would change the world because of Jesus. And so as we sing this song, as we share in a meal afterwards, we give you thanks for the lot. And it's in Jesus' name that we do this. Amen.